Hey, party people, have you joined our Discord server yet? You can meet fellow party people and interact with our cast and crew to talk about all things in Counterparty, both this first Ravnica campaign and our new campaign, which is a television show available on the Dungeons & Dragons Adventures channel. To learn more, head on over to our website at EncounterParty.com or check the links in the show notes. Now, enjoy this episode of Campaign 1 of Encounter Party. Warning, our show features very strong language and graphic depictions of violence, so listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Encounter Party. After repelling a brutal invasion, our players managed to stave off the Xerta clan and escape the ruined garrison. However, it's now clear that members of the Gruul and the Golgari are firmly under the corruption of Merit Lage. Our players set off once again on the hunt for Rurik Thar. Can they find allies with the Gore clan, or are they also slave to the corruption? Find out this week on Encounter Party!
So, after a long rest on the shitty ground of the Boros Fort, you guys have leveled up. You're now level 6.
Yay!
So, during that long rest, with my new 6th level powers as a wizard and the school of transmutation that I come from, I spend 8 hours creating the transmuter's stone as part of the long rest, and now I gain the benefit of an extra 10 feet of movement while unencumbered while holding that stone. Can also hand that stone to someone else and they gain it.
Cool.
Oh, that's going to bite me in the ass at some point in the next several months, isn't it?
The stone does a bunch of cool things, so, like, I hope so.
As a paladin going up to level 6, Saloran wakes, and for whatever reason, he feels a bit of his divine power just radiating out of him. Everyone around me gets +5 to their saving throws within a 10-foot radius.
Ooh. That's dope.
You got to be snuggled up.
Yeah. It won't be me, but that's a cool thing. Off into the rubble belt.
Okay, so on the following day, you guys head off into the rubble belt. So again, it is the same environment that led you toward this Boros outpost. A lot of rubble, a lot of earth, a lot of forest, but the farther you head towards the northwest, the more foliage grows around you, and there is sort of a definitive forest the farther you get out. And the amount of rubble and that you find around you, the any sort of semblance that there once was city begins to quickly disappear under your feet. And anyone and everyone give me a nature check. You were told what the Gore clan symbol looked like.
Nat 20.
Oh, okay.
Nice. 16.
22.
I think these are all fine.
10.
Right.
5.
Healthy curve.
Healthy curve.
Ned, do you have your familiar out?
Yeah, just flying above me.
Okay. Who is dragging the gyrocopter?
Ooh, me.
Fakara, and you'll need 2.
Okay, who wants to help?
There's only 2 Zatch people at this table with any kind of strength.
Saloran just goes...
Eh? You went far in the back.
He just goes to the back. Without a word.
Can I get a marching order, please?
Yeah, sure. You guys up front with the plane or someone in front of you? What do you want?
In my brain, it makes a great idea to have the copter be in front.
Sure. So we walk behind you dragging the copter. So it'd be like
Fakara,
Collector, and then the 3 of us.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that...
Fakara is going to be in front and have both of her arms occupied by dragging a copter.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like,
oh yeah,
you're dragging a copter.
Just confirming.
But wait, we have tons of rope, so we could kind of like latch it to ourselves.
Does anybody have any ranger abilities?
Fuck off, Brian.
Whoops.
I'd like to roll for eye lasers to DM. Oh, look at that. 2 nat... Oh, that is a nat 20.
That was a real nat 20. You didn't even have to lie.
Counterspell.
jerk.
No, I actually do think it doesn't make sense to have the gyrocrafter in front personally.
Okay.
I think Perix maybe, because he's
I
am the second most squishy in the party.
But you got that raven.
I do have a raven to see farther.
I'm pretty squishy. Am I first most
you
squishy?
You are first most squishy.
There you go. Thank you, Lord Zatch.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lord Zatch.
Through the forest, I need a perception check from Ned.
24.
Oh, that's super good. You can see slight static movement from the foliage in front of you as your raven spots at least two Gruul members who are immediately aware of your presence, but not because of your raven. So
okay.
You are coming upon two people who are suspecting you are coming upon them.
Got it. I pass this to the group and say, do we want to announce ourselves and try and be stealthy, remembering that we're dragging a copter?
They are split on either sides of this sort of path that you're working up.
I say you and I drop the copter.
Gladly.
Let's not forget it. Perix announces from the side.
Well, of course not.
Where did we park that copter?
Dude, where's my copter?
Oh, God, no.
Where's your copter, dude?
Dude. Where's the copter?
Fucking rancid, no!
No!
Sorry.
Please continue. No, you're fine. We know you're there. You're outnumbered. Please don't make us fight you.
Perix whispers really quietly, we are probably outnumbered.
You said it was just two.
I mean, I can see we're in their territory.
What the fuck?
So Lauren silently facepalms.
And so out from the trees, one steps around the base of a tree trunk. The other one steps out from behind the trunk, but is up in the branches. And there is a very stern looking human female Gruul warrior who stares down at you with her bone made armor and the bow at the ready. And she just says, you are quite confident that you are outnumbering us.
Okay, that might have been incorrect.
And she laughs, but it's more of like a jackal animalistic.
We don't wish to fight.
We're looking for Rurik Thar.
And what do you want with Rurik Thar?
We wish to talk with him.
And offer a way to crush his enemies.
Oh, yes, that too.
Rurik Thar does not need your help to crush his enemies.
And why has the Gore clan failed against the Zertar's aggression?
She snarls. Because the Zertar have cheated.
And how would you like us to remove their cheat codes?
Keep it. That is in the podcast.
I should have said disable. Yeah.
That's great. She snarls at you and then turns to look at the other Gruul warrior who's down on the ground with you. And they share like a series of animal trills and sounds that you can't, you can tell they're communicating, but whatever language this is very distinctive. You know, it's a privately made communication. And he starts running back up the path and she jumps down off the foliage in front of you and lands. And she kind of looks you all up and down, and she gives a smell to you, Fakara, and she gives a stare to you, Lorzach. And then she kind of looks behind everyone and sees the two Vidalkins and the shiny man, and she just sneers. And then she, just with a nod of her head, invites you to follow her.
Thank you.
Despite this being, you know, a forest, I feel like Perix is much more comfortable now that we're in anything that feels like there might be water to sustain it. Feel oddly at home in some kind of a way.
Mossy.
Yeah, it just feels better.
Mm-hmm. Lorzach follows close behind.
Yeah, Fakara, you say thank you to her and she kind of throws back over her shoulder. Do not thank me yet. You may be marching to your death.
Comforting.
Sloran coughs and makes eye contact with Fakara going, the gyrocopter?
Oh, right.
Perix turns back. Thank you.
So you guys go trudging off through the forest following...
With the gyrocopter.
With said gyrocopter.
Following somebody you do not know that you did not ask who she's with.
That's true. Though she did get very...
But you do have a moment to ask some questions.
Are you a member of the Gore clan?
I am.
Well, that's useful.
My name is Lorzach. May I ask yours?
My name is Tamani. The Gore clan is the strongest clan.
Who?
I don't mean to be rude, but aren't you like third in line? there's like a leader, and then there's the Zerta trying to do the thing, and then there's you guys.
She stops and turns around and glares at you very angrily.
We're here to help. I'm just saying, let's not.
Please don't mind him. He's a fish that just learned to speak.
Still not a fish.
She glares at you and says, Rurik and Tha will show you who is strongest.
Okay.
Your simic powers of observation may be best left at home, fish.
Are you trying to give me lessons on how to be tactful?
Siloran says nothing, but in his soul he goes, point. And he grows, again, stoic.
What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Tamani.
Tamani, I'm Farkaro Drun, Master Sergeant of the Boros.
She just snorts. She doesn't respond.
All right. Well, just want to make sure she knew who she was yelling at or who she's going to stab.
Is there... I doubt that an Orzhov representative would have any understanding of this, but are there like any like codes of customs that the Gruul have so that we know we're not like walking into a sacrifice or something?
The Orzhov could not be more opposite of the Gruul.
That's what I thought.
You
cool.
guys value wealth and manipulation and monetary power, and they value raw strength and think material possession is bullshit.
Right, they're savages.
You guys could not be more opposed to each other. Anything else you guys want to try and probe from her before you reach the Gruul camp?
I'll say, is there anything we should keep in mind before we talk to Rurik Thar?
I hope you are well rested.
Sure. And hypothetically, if we had to undertake some taxing situation with Rurik Thar, are we all allowed to partake, or do we have to nominate someone?
I cannot speak for my chieftain, but I imagine you will pose no challenge.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay, so after a trudge, she outpaces you very quickly and has to often stop for wait for you guys to catch up to her. I can't imagine Xenia has a lot of cardio expertise. She is carrying a metal-cased storm cloud on her back. So it is a trudge, not exhaustion level inducing, but it is a bit of a trudge so that mentally it's fairly taxing suffering this wild woman. And you hear the rumbling of the camp far before you see it. And it's a Gruul camp, so it's quite large. There are numerous Gruul people here. There are everything you would expect at a savage camp. There's campfires, big slabs of meat over those campfires, leather working, bone crafting, people wrestling, people grunting, furs, nakedness. It's all pretty savage. It's Conan come to life.
This sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, I think vomit inducing for Xenia and Saloran, because it's really just sort of like, although the chaos of it might be kind of fun.
It's exciting for me. I'm studying life in its exactness.
Yeah, the Simic and the Gruul kind of like gel together more than you want to think.
I'm super stoked about what's happening.
I mean, they're really
right
just
now.
Kind of experiments for you, but
right.
The Simic often take like Gruul beasts and blow them up. And by blow them up, I mean like Power Rangers
right.
make my monster grow. Like it's not unusual to see a giant monster rampaging through Ravnica and be like, oh, the Simic found a mushroom and fed it to it and whoop, whoop, whoop. And I think for you, Lorzach, there is an earthy nature to this. And they induce death and they probably don't hold the reverence that you do, but there is something I think admirable to the Gruul for their sort of strange warlike compassion and their duty, even though they are savage people. And Fakara, I think after such an impressive battle in the Boros outpost, there's probably a part of you that sees some of these minotaurs kicking around, and you have to keep in mind that every minotaur has that rage and that bloodlust deep inside them. It's just the Ordrun line has done a much better job suppressing it than anyone else. So I would imagine that there is a brief moment of you like, man, it would be really, really cool to just rampage for a little while.
Yeah.
So you guys go marching into the camp, and as Tamani leads you through the procession, there is quiet that begins falling over because you guys are very explicitly showcasing other guild emblems. And there's a big quiet that just sort of spreads out all over the camp as Tamani leads you towards the center forward of camp to where there's a small wooden sort of fenced area. And on a giant throne up against a dead oak tree with bones and lashed twigs and wood in this crude seat, you find a giant two-headed ogre gnashing on meat, both heads with one in each hand, completely oblivious to your arrival. Until Tamani,
War Chieftain, I bring disappointment, for which I apologize.
And she, like, kneels down. And he just sort of, one head just keeps eating, but the other one kind of looks up and stares at you guys and is indifferent.
Lorzach will sort of edge to the front of the group, standing maybe too close to Tamani, and ask Rurik Thar, why did Jace trust you to burn his library?
So you ask that question, and both heads stop what they're doing and stare up at you, really quizzically.
Why are you here?
To find the location of the library you burned.
And why would you want them? What do you want with the books?
Because they may hold the secret to crush your enemies.
And to save Ravnica as we know it.
I do not need help crushing my enemies. We are strong without the help of the guilds.
And yet the Zertar have crushed your clansmen. How would you like to crush them in return?
We are not getting crushed.
He, like, grabs a wineskin and, like, drinks a whole bunch.
Peric steps forward and says, I suppose you've noticed the modification of the Zertar that has allowed them the advantage?
He snorts. Both heads just...
They are cheaters!
That's fine, but their strength grows from the Black. We believe the library can combat it.
The Black is so dire, half the guilds of Ravnica have to come together.
No one goes to that place ever again.
Then how about a wager?
No one makes demands in my camp.
And if one were to challenge you and stake our lives against the secret of the library's location, would the honor of the Gore clan compel you to act, or shall you continue to feast?
In a flash, this rage boils up from under this huge ogre.
You come to challenge Rurik Thar? You come to die!
Roll initiative. He just comes at you.
I personally was a little bit scared that you were going to be like, oh yeah, we have this Minotaur. Go ahead.
We would... And the way you roll, we would literally never.
Rurik Thar is a massive two-headed ogre with large tusks that extend out the front of each of his heads. Not only is he of large size, but more frightening still is the fact that below the elbow, his right arm has been cut off, replaced with a giant double-headed axe. A weapon normally that would be two-handed for an average person, but he seems ready to use it free-handedly.
Looks like we're really going to have to disarm him.
Don't. Don't. Okay, top of the order, Lorzach.
Lorzach approaches Rurik Thar, and as an action awakens the spores in his body. End of turn.
Peryx.
Peryx steps to his left just a little bit, and the crystal around his neck glows that deep purple, and his eyes fly back to launch Witch Bolt directly into the heart of the beast.
What type of damage is Witch Bolt?
Well, I gotta hit first, but it will be lightning damage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a 26.
Yes.
Great. That's less great. 11 lightning damage on a potential 36.
You throw some thunder at him. He twitches.
Great. Am I now connected to him because the Witch Bolt is deep inside him?
You are now tethered. Rurik Thar goes racing past Lorzach, provoking an attack of opportunity as he goes charging into the fray.
Will he please make a constitution saving throw?
He will make a constitution saving throw.
I don't expect him to fail often, but...
Except for right there!
12.
Yeah!
And he takes...
Sorry. 16. He gets a +9 to his constitution saving throws.
I want
to
double check. Yeah,
that means.
Yep.
God. You upgraded from D4s to D6s, though?
Yeah.
That's
hooray!
Dope. That's dope.
So he will race in a straight line, charging directly into Saloran and Fikara. Andrew will also get an attack of opportunity as he goes raging past.
19 to hit.
19 will not hit.
Wow.
Yikes.
Copy that.
So yep. He goes racing into the two of you, and he will attack first Saloran with a 29.
That definitely hits.
He comes crashing into you for 22 bludgeoning damage.
Yowza. Here we go, Rorik.
And then he is going to attack Fikara with a 16.
Will not hit.
16 will not hit. He will miss. That's his turn. Fikara, you're up next.
Ooh, excellent. Okay, he's right there, so I don't have to run towards him. That's pretty cool. I'm going to attack him with my maces 2 times. And one will be a 19, the other will be 14.
Neither hit.
Okay, that's unfortunate. And as a bonus action, I'll go ahead and Bardic Inspiration on Xenia.
Xenia.
Xenia feels like she's on a roll with Shatter, so she's going to keep on going. And she casts Shatter at a point behind Rurikthar. And he has to make a constitution saving throw.
Woof. 28.
He still takes half of 15, so 7, 8?
7.
7 points of thunder damage.
Elemental damage is not doing very much.
Good to know.
Is it doing anything?
It's doing a little.
Sure. Okay. That's all I need is a little.
Okay.
All I need is a tiny bit.
Saloran.
Saloran takes the brunt of the attack, coughs a little blood inside of his helmet, and then takes out his Morningstar and tries to counterattack. That is an 18 to hit, but I'm going to channel Divinity for Guided Strike, so that's actually a 28.
28 will hit.
Great.
Holy crap.
So that's my channel Divinity burnt up. And along with that attack, I'm going to use my bonus action to hit him with Wrathful Smite.
Yeah, all right. The Paladin's here, guys.
Sup, Paladin?
Dude, they're so good.
Sup.
They take just a little bit of time to get
going.
Level 6 and 7, man, they get so good. Welcome to the party, pal.
That is 12 damage straight up. My Wrathful Smite will do an additional 1 damage.
Hey.
But now he must make a Wisdom save. Otherwise, he is frightened of me.
What's the DC?
16.
How about a 20?
Okay. Great.
I mean, that sucks.
Great start. Compromising follow through. Okay, great.
Oh, sorry. It's irrelevant. He's immune to fear.
That's good to know. So Saloran hits him and like growls under his breath and then realizes that he's facing something far more than anything he's ever faced. So he pulls the Morningstar and tries to wail on him again.
Second attack?
Yes, sir.
Go.
16?
No.
Great.
He took the first attack from a surprise, but he knows what's up next and just a deft parry with this axe hand. Top of the order, Lorzach.
Lorzach, as his action, will strike Rurikthar with the Staff of Withering. And that's a 19 to hit.
A 19 does not hit.
And that is the turn.
Perix.
So, we know that he's constitutionally adept. We've learned that he might be wise or just rolled really well.
Mm-hmm.
I do damage in basically one of three ways. Wisdom, dexterity, constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one of those we feel better about? We know it's not constitution. Let me rephrase. Wisdom or dexterity?
I bet dexterity.
Let's do dex.
I would go wisdom, actually.
But he said something earlier in which he at first was like, oh, he's not dumb. The way he started talking about him. And then he was like, oh, no, he's not dumb. He's wise.
Well, that just means he's not low intelligence.
Yeah.
He's also the leader of a clan.
So he's probably not that dumb.
I don't think he's dumb.
Okay.
He's big and like.
Would you please move Perix back a little bit in a straight that way? Yep. One more. That's a straight line that also won't hit Lorzach.
Oh.
And launches a lightning bolt. Dexterity save 16, please.
12.
Great. So The crystal around my neck almost, it doesn't even glow a color. It just emanates this sparkling, crackling energy. And Perix kind of gets close to the ground and puts his hands out, and then almost in a Kamehameha fire launches the lightning bolt that he's aware the elementals won't be great, but we just needed to find out about some dexterity.
Lightning!
At Rurik Thar. But hopefully, the offset of high dice will be good for this. 5, 10, 15, 18, 19, 23, 28, 29 points of lightning damage.
You guys are throwing a lot of thunder and lightning at him, and he doesn't seem too sussed.
That's fine.
It's his turn now. With his left hand, he reaches down into the ground and grabs a decent-sized rock and just hucks it at Perix.
Great.
Will he please make a constitution saving throw?
23.
Well, then he takes... Nothing, he saves.
22.
Yeah, sure.
You take a rock to the face.
Yep.
I need a DC 18 strength saving throw, please.
That's not great, because the only thing that I have that can beat that is a 19 or a 20. Which I hit a... No, fuck. No, I did not. 14. I read it wrong. I got excited. The 5 looked like a 9.
You'll
it was take not.
15 bludgeoning damage and get knocked prone as a rock smacks you right in the face.
That's fine. Bleep. I'll take that.
And now, a quick word from one of our sponsors. You know, folks, blank walls can be pretty boring. So why not spruce up your home or office by heading over to ukiyopop.com. They have a collection of traditional Japanese prints inspired by today's comics, games, and movies. The gallery is viewable online for free, and prints are available for purchase. So head over to ukiyopop.com. That's ukiyopop.com. Tradition in a modern method. And now, back to the party.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fakara.
I will cast Dissonant Whispers for a wisdom save of 14. I just look him in the eyes and be like, you're old. Very old.
And you feel very awkward as you realized it's a two-headed ogre and is therefore immune to psychic attacks.
And then I'll hit him with my maces. One will be a 21.
21 will hit.
All right, cool. Hooray! Some sort of religious guy. It will be going to be 8.
8 damage?
Bludgeoning, yes.
That looked like a solid hit.
Of course it did.
He's not very happy.
Yeah, I'm probably going to
finally
die.
Took some damage. Xenia.
Xenia's feeling a little queasy. Her stomach's a little upset, so she thinks she needs to burp. And she burps, and out of her mouth, she tries to throw a bubble of acid, stomach bile, straight at this ogre. And he needs to roll a dex save of 15.
Acid splash?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that too. Is that of a Dalkin thing? Guess so.
He rolls a 13.
May I please have another d6?
There you go.
It's always a good thing to hear.
Thank you. For 7 points of stomach bile acid splash damage.
How does that acid feel on him?
It smokes.
Okay.
Cool.
He kind of ignores it. He's kind of focused on this minotaur that actually got a strike in on him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Saloran.
Saloran is a little unnerved by this gigantic creature in front of him, and he's going to lock eyes with it and cast Hold Person.
Okay.
DC 16, Wisdom save.
Can you read this spell out loud, please?
Choose a humanoid that you can see within range. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration.
Okay. Again, two-headed ogre, immune. Top of the order, Lorzach.
Wait, I'm going to use a bonus action to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Oh, god dang it.
Bling, 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 bling. It makes that sound.
Mine is a golden morning star, and I'm trying to smash it into Rorik Thar. That's a 15. Definitely misses, but it's in play.
Okay, top of the order, Lorzach.
I have to see if this works.
Oh,
that's a great way to start.
I love the way that rolls.
Please, 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 please.
As an action, Lorzach is going to summon the moss dogs from his armor again. This polyp of fungal growth sort of sloughing off and sprouting legs, its head sort of blossoming outwards into this carnivorous plant. And it lunges at Rorik Thar.
Just John Carpenter's out of your chest.
Yeah.
So I have two moss dogs in the form of these dice.
Oh, no, dice dogs.
Dice dogs.
Dice dogs get advantage with an ally within 5 feet.
Oh, pack tactics?
Pack tactics.
Boo!
So that won't hit the other dog. That won't hit either. I'm not using these dice anymore.
Okay. Do you want to swap those dice as your dogs and then take your dog dice to roll?
I'm confident with those dog dice. I'm not confident with these rolling dice.
Okay, Perix, you're up.
So Perix didn't love getting hit by a rock, right? And so he slowly sort of cuts up to one knee and then stands up. And he looks back at Rorik Thar and says, "That one's coming back at you." And the crystal around my neck glows a light, light blue. And the rock that was just thrown at me is picked up and launches in a straight line directly at Rorik Thar.
Okay.
Dexterity saving throw 16.
He rolls a dexterity of 22, and you realize, holy shit, he's actually really dexterous as well. Brian was just rolling low for 2 turns.
Oh, great. He's good.
He has a +6 to dexterity.
Cool.
Saving throws. Just so everybody knows, he has different numbers for saving throws than his actual modifiers.
But I can't do bludgeoning damage, so we'll figure this out. Mm-hmm. I will find the system.
Okay. Does he just straight up dodge it, or does he take
damage? Dodges it. Rock whiffs.
His head's just like...
Yep, split down the middle.
Each one just sort of tilts a different way. And
yeah.
Okay, so the last person to severely strike him was Fakara. And so Rorik and Thar are going to recklessly attack her.
Cool.
With 2 slam attacks. Well, the first of 2 slam attacks.
Ow.
The first one is going to be a 17.
That will not hit.
Cool. Okay,
the second one will be a 19.
Barely hits, but yes.
So, first, you will take 16 bludgeoning damage.
Cool.
And then because you damaged him last round in a fury of retaliation, you will also take an additional 24 damage.
Woo!
Bludgeoning. So in a fury, after actually taking some damage, these stones and these thunder spells hitting him off. But you're a pretty sizable beast, and you got him with a good chunk with your mace, and he's not happy about that. And so in his rage, he leaves himself wide open in order to make a severe attack. And while he swings with the axe and you dodge out of the way, you realize it was just a feint, and this big left arm comes smashing over the top with a haymaker, hitting you for an insane amount of damage.
All right, cool. Not dead!
Constitution saving throw is 20, by the way.
Yeah, he saves.
I apologize, 19.
Hey, he still saves. Great. Still pretty good.
He's a beefy boy.
Yeah.
Fakara, you're up.
Okay, cool. So being he just did that crazy like, whoa, I'm fucking super crazy, beating things up in absolute rage. Does that give me an advantage on attacks towards him?
Everyone has advantage on him for the next round on attacks.
Okay, cool. So I'm just going to hit him 3 times with my mace. That's a nat 20.
Yes.
Thank you, little black dice that I've had forever. That is also a, like, oh, God, that's way above 20.
It's 24.
Great.
Yeah.
24 hits.
24. And then, what up, Black Dice? How are you doing? That is going to be a 23.
All three of those hit.
Yes! You get 3 attacks?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
She's dual wielding and she has extra attacks.
She's dual wielding and she has an extra attack.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy.
There is a point where she can get, once per combat, she can get 5 attacks.
Okay.
I know, right?
two-handed fighters are what they are.
So that is going to be 16, 24?
24 damage?
Yes.
Oof. He does not like that.
I do.
Oof. He's not bloody, but oof. That was a... Ow. All right. Xenia.
And we all have advantage.
Yes. On attack rolls.
Great. Oh, thank God. That is a 26 to hit.
26 hits.
I should point out, I was rolling for Chaos Bolt.
Oh, good. Could you roll a d20, please?
Sure can. 10.
Oh, I don't think I've ever wanted a natural one more in my life than this fight.
Well, I just spent my natural one on the other one. Beautiful. And that's going to be 11 points of force damage.
Force damage. All right.
She's sensing that her, you know, her instincts as far as thunder and lightning is not the way to go. So she's just going pure force. Like Fakara.
Force. Great. So far these attacks look like they're making some damage here. Saloran.
Great. He's going to go at him with his Morningstar. Oh, the first attack goes wide. The second attack also goes so wide.
So both are wide.
He whiffs them both. Oof. And in his anger forces his spiritual weapon to attack. That is a 23 to hit.
A 23 will hit.
That is 7 points of damage.
Great. Groovy. Top of the order. Lorzach.
Lorzach is going to swing at Rurikthar with the Staff of Withering.
Yeah, buddy.
There we go. How about a 26 to hit?
Sure.
All right.
You know what? I'll allow it. I think you've earned it.
Lorzach is going to expend a charge of the Staff of Withering to do a bonus amount of necrotic damage. Whopping total of 3 necrotic damage. 9 magic damage.
Okay.
And 2 poison damage.
So 14 damage. Okay.
Not great.
He does not like that.
Must dogs.
How does it feel like necrotic damage does on him?
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it? Cool.
He seems pretty mad at what just happened.
1 moss dog hits with a 24.
24.
Great.
Yes, moss dog.
Good boy.
Rap.
For 12 piercing damage.
Fucking what?
Yeah, moss dog.
Oh, piercing?
Piercing.
Dog's got teeth.
All right. Fine.
Oh, what? Bludgeoning is fine? What is this guy's resistances?
I don't... They're insane.
What is this?
And Perix is not built to fight this guy,
he's,
so...
He's resistant to bullshit.
He is...
Not that much bullshit.
Hey.
Yeah, what up?
So, Perix takes the cue on the necrotic damage and hopes...
I'm sorry, are you taking a turn right now?
Isn't it my turn?
Perix, you're up.
Thanks! Perix takes the cue on the necrotic damage and hopes that there might be something in his prepared spells that can be helpful at this juncture because he can dodge his catapults. So, the crystal around his neck goes black and his eyes roll back in his head as he emanates this dark death energy and he tolls the dead on Rurikthar.
What type of damage is it?
Necrotic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying here. I got one thing.
Do you have to be touching him?
No, 60 foot range.
14.
Yeah! Guys, I did something.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm really proud.
Go team.
Didn't roll good, though. 6 necrotic damage out of a possible 24.
Any damage is good damage.
You know what, Ned? With practice, I bet you'll get better.
I just learned the spell.
Fair point.
All right, so Rurikthar looks bloodied. He's also really kind of pissed off at whatever just snake grabbed him on the butt.
Ooh, that wasn't me.
So he's going to turn around, and with a big old hefty swing, he's going to attack him rather recklessly. The first attack is going to be a 28.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Oh, buddy, I'm just rolling so much damage on you today. I can only apologize. His first strike on you comes really hard. 45 points of bludgeoning damage. As he recklessly gives no fucks about his own health and charges at you with everything he has.
Great.
Second swing. A 29 to hit.
That will not... Yeah, it hits.
I have to announce the number. Would be 21 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Down?
No.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. Shut the front door. I just did like 60 plus damage to you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tough.
Yes!
Remember when you almost double killed Xenia? Imagine if that
so
was Mal.
So, he is being reckless and has advantage on him. Fakara.
Yes. I will first cast Cure Wounds so I cross my fingers don't die. For 8. Yay. And then I will attack.
Okay.
With my maces. That will be 24.
24 will hit.
And that will be a 17.
17 will miss.
Boo. He will take 7 bludgeoning damage.
Bludgeoning damage has been taken.
Yes.
Xenia.
Or yes.
He's being rather reckless.
Okay.
He thought he could confidently one drop Lorzach, but apparently it was wrong.
Okay, cool. Great. That is a 24.
That will hit.
Fantastic. Zenian's leaning into this chaos bolt energy.
Great. D20, please.
That's a 6. We are A-okay. We're A-okay.
Brian is having a small conniption on the other side of the table.
And with that big dick energy, 11 points of force damage.
Indeed.
Noted. Silorin.
Silorin's gonna try again with the Morningstar. Nat 20, baby.
Yay!
That's the first attack.
Yeah, so, okay, but what's the actual number?
The Nat 20, that's a 26 to hit.
That will hit.
Great. While he hits him with that, he's also going to use his Divine Smite.
Counterspell.
Great.
No, I'm so sorry. He does not have counterspell.
Okay, I was like, what? At this point, we just don't know. I'm going to roll attack again, then calculate damage. That is a 22 to hit.
Yeah.
25 damage. He hits him for 25 damage in one shot.
Ooh. What type of damage?
This is 2 of those D8s, so 4 of that damage was radiant damage, and the rest was piercing.
Okay.
And then he's going to use his bonus action to move the spiritual weapon closer and try to hit him again.
You're still adjacent with the spiritual weapon.
Thank you very much.
He's a large creature.
That totally whiffs.
Okay. Okay. Whiffed. Top of the order, Lorzach. Still standing, apparently.
As an action, Lorzach is going to reawaken the spores in his body that have been dissipated by the devastating reckless attack of Rurik Thar.
Thank you for your concentration.
And you can see the horrendous wounds on Lorzach's body stitch shut as these fungal filaments do all the work for him. And as a bonus action, Lorzach is going to cast Healing Word on himself. The dogs are going to take their turn. One of them completely whiffs. And the other maybe hits with a 21.
21 hits.
21 hits. I think we found the armor class. We're looking at 7 piercing damage from the Moss Dog.
Got it. Perix.
Man, God, I wish there was something I could do that was really useful here. But instead, I'm going to try and throw another rock and hope that he rolls low on dexterity.
I will confirm there are plenty of rocks.
Yes,
around.
This feels like a rocky place.
Yes.
So the crystal around Perix's neck glows that light blue and it emanates through his skin. He lifts a rock and hurls it at the smaller of the two heads of Rurik Thar because that one's more of an asshole.
They're the same size head.
Nah, that's what they think. John, it's mental games.
Dex saving throw?
Yeah.
What's the target?
16.
15.
Yeah! 5, 14, 28 points of bludgeoning damage.
Gotcha. Ooh, we did not like that.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
I'm proud of you.
Thank
it's
you.
It's his turn. He doesn't like that. Is there a cool way to say this? Probably not. He doesn't even come up with a quip. He just takes the rock that you threw at him, picks it up off the ground, and throws it back at you.
Oh, great.
29 to hit.
Oh, it's not a... Okay, great. It's not a catapult.
No, he just throws a rock at you.
Yeah, sure, that hits.
He doesn't need a trick. He just throws it at you. 27 points of bludgeoning damage.
It's not great,
as the rock hits you right in your gooey reptilian chest.
And as he, am I prone like I was before?
You need a DC 18 strength saving throw, or
so
you go
like,
down.
Almost certainly. Yeah, 15.
So you very cleverly be like, look at all this ammunition, and you use your medallion and your eyes roll back and your Sailor Moon stars go flying, and you very cleverly throw a rock at this dude and it hits him and he just catches it as it falls off of his chest and looks at you and just winds up left-handed and just hurls this rock right back at you for 20 some odd damage right in your chest,
and as
knocking
Perix,
you on your frog ass.
As Perix takes it and falls onto his frog ass, he yells, but I did one more point of damage.
No, you didn't. Resistance.
No.
Fakara.
I will go ahead and I will just attack 3 times and just scream, you forget the rage of the Minotaurs, and just go after him. Or that I might miss all of those. That's sad. I yell. And he gets a little scared and might have peed himself. But that's about it.
Nope. Zenia
is on that chaos bolt beat, baby.
Some good alliteration.
Thank you. That would be an 18, but I'm going to use my inspiration to hopefully get to what I need to.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, 21.
21 hits. Could you also please roll another d20 for me?
Great work, Bardic Inspiration.
Come on.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a 1.
There it is.
Is it a 1?
Yeah. Yes! There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, quit dancing, Brian.
Lynn, this is the sad version of the wah, 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 wah. She goes, wah,
wah, wah, wah. This is my favorite part of 5th edition.
Should I tally?
Oh, look, I've got it bookmarked right here. Would you please roll a D100, my dear?
Yeah. 76.
Oh, shit. God dang it. I don't think you've had a bad one of these yet, have you?
No, sure have not.
You glow with bright light in a 30-foot radius for the next minute. Any creature that ends its turn within 5 feet of you is blinded until the next turn.
Any creature?
Any creature.
That's actually terrible.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Any creature is
blinded.
That
is terrible.
It's not great. Can I roll damage on my chaos bolt?
You can now.
So 9 points of force damage. And I'm a blinding him.
For the party people at home, blinded creatures can't see and automatically fail any ability checks requiring sight. Attack rolls against creatures have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls themselves have disadvantage.
Thank you.
Not really something Rurik Thar is going to dodge. However, as you, in the chaos of your bolt, as you start radiating light and force damage comes out of your fist to knock into him and you go racing up to try and blind him, you see Rurik Thar drop to one knee and take half a breath and then stand back up. Soloran
thinks, strange, and then just keeps wailing away at him with the Morning Star. That is a 21 to hit. That one misses. So the first one hits.
First one will hit.
And he's also going to use a Divine Smite on that attack. That is 18 damage, 5 of that being radiant damage.
Yeah.
And then he is going to use the Spiritual Weapon.
Okay.
That is a 20 to hit.
20 will hit.
Thank you. And that is 9 force damage. So he takes his Morningstar, crashes into the side of Rurik Thar, misses the second time, and then just wills his golden Morning Star to smash him in the head.
So the combined attack of both of these Morning Stars wailing upon Rurik Thar and the blinding light emanating from Zenia just assault him back and forth and back and forth as he stumbles backward, falling down into the dirt and putting his hands up. And then you feel the rush of, like, the entire Gore clan closing in around you, and you get a very quick understanding that this fight is over.
I go straight up to his heads. Do you yield?
Both of his heads nod. He doesn't say it out loud, but both of his heads nod, and he does stand up and very sternly looks at the entire group.
And we push Zenia just 5 feet away from everyone.
Lord Zetch especially hates that shit.
Yeah. It's not it.
It's for an hour, by the way.
Yeah, we just chill.
So Lauren unclaps his cape and then tries to cover Zenya with it.
Does not work.
Fine. What is it you want?
The location of Jace Bellerin's library.
Do you know what's there?
The sickness, the foul means by which the Zertar have ousted your clan from its rightful place, threatens all of our guilds as well. Bellerin's library may hold the key to destroying it, enabling you, and all of us, to at last crush the enemies that plague us.
The Mind Mage wanted it buried.
And if he has any issue with it, he can take it up with us himself.
You just hear a double snort.
Fine. We will take you. Gather your things.
And he yells to his clan.
None of you may follow us. Take care. Defend until we come back.
Well, we have time to rest before we head to the library.
Do you need rest after victory? Are you weaklings?
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm squishy.
I do not have time to wait for you. We leave now.
Yeah, okay.
So Lauren will put his hands on Perix and on Lorzach and channel 15 HP each into them.
Thank you. Because I was at 2.
Andrew, how close were you?
I think I had 3 hit points.
Yeah. Zenya, are you okay?
I am miraculously completely unscathed. Thank you.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, good for me.
And Perix, as he limps down the road, says, thank you for the health and don't forget the gyrocopter.
Salorn again face palms and then just takes his side of the gyrocopter.
Ribbit, ow. So, at the behest of Rurik Thar, you go trudging off through the wilderness. And he does discuss things with you a little bit, namely...
The Ghoul Clan set up our camp to hide the tower. We feared others would seek out Balerin's library. It is not a safe place for secrets.
Do you know where he's gone?
I have no idea where he is.
How much do you know about... the corruption that is spreading through Ravnica?
You're talking about the blackness, the corruption of the Zertar.
I have seen it firsthand in the Simic. We have seen it firsthand in the Golgari. Now we have seen it in the Gruul. We fear it is infiltrated into every guild and even the unaffiliated and threatens Ravnica as a whole.
The Zertar are fools. They worship the old ways, the time before the guilds. They believe in the end rays, a time when we're supposed to get what's coming to us. They believe the end time will come on the back of a great boar, that Ilhob's hooves will crush the very stones of Ravnica. They are fools, but still, they have old shamans. They must believe that this blackness is their end rays.
I fear that an apocalyptic event of some kind does indeed threaten Ravnica.
Then we must crush the Zertar!
We must crush the corruption, and if the Zertar are in the way, that sounds like a really good idea.
Agreed.
While we're traveling, Saloran sidles up next to Perix and goes, this infection, what do you know of it?
The first instance of the corruption that we know of came at the bottom of Zonit 4, my home in the Simic Combine. It infiltrated the Zonit, it took over an entire platoon of Simic and my friends and turned them into raving, slathering, murderous versions of themselves that I and my team was forced to put down.
But it isn't merely a disease. We know that some are able to command it in some form or another. For example, there is one in the Undercity named Deirath, who has been able to impart this darkness upon others of his kind, others of my kind, although he himself was not infected against his will.
We also know that for some it controls you, takes you over, turns you into the mindless slave that it has the ability to do, but we just saw Delania. She was in full control of her actions.
As was Ludmilla,
yes,
in the Undercity.
The Zertar believe it a blessing by their Ilhog. We have found their scouts covered in this black pitch. It is an unearned power.
The Zertar are idiots.
The Zertar are dangerous.
At the bottom of Zonit 4, there was a sphere found, a perfect metal sphere orb that was wrapped in a black tentacle that feels of the exact same kind of substance that now corrupts our land. We do not know what that tentacle was, but we now have two spheres and fear there are at least three more somewhere in Ravnica and somehow tied to this corruption.
Did you say black tentacle?
Yes, it was wrapped around one of these spheres at the bottom of Zonit 4.
I think we should head there. We will go to this library. You will find what you seek, and then I will show you the evil of this land.
Before we continue along, Saloran looks to Perix and Lorzach and says, "This would have been a very wise thing to tell the Grand Envoy. There needs to be some transparency with something like this affecting Ravnica." And then he continues on.
"We showed the Grand Envoy all the images she needed. Whether or not she communicated it to you is not our problem."
Burn.
Woof. Big woof.
And so you have this further conversation, trudging along through the wilderness, not sure where you are going. Does anyone have any ranger abilities to...
Fuck yeah!
God damn it!
No. I'm so fucking angry about this.
As the newbie, I sense something lingering in the air.
So you guys are just kind of blindly following Rorik Thar.
And if you're too close to me, probably still.
And if you're too close to Xenia, you're like tripping over rocks and shit.
And I would like to keep the raven in the sky just in case anything's coming at us from the side or behind.
Sure.
Keeping an eyeball.
You are well past an hour at this point, so you've radiated. It's several hours, late into the afternoon, as you guys trudge away following Rorik Thar into a place where he clearly knows where he's going, but seemingly into the middle of nowhere. And it picks back up in the sense of how much rubble there is around, right? It seems that this once was a populated quarter, something on the edge of the city proper of Ravnica, where there was quite a nice place to be, and you see up above you the ruins of a rather resplendent tower. And Rorik Thar tells you that he was instructed by Jace to destroy this tower at his behest, but then in some time after the Dragon's Maze, he decided the best interest of his clan was to move them as close as he could to this area without drawing attention to it, but that also the Gore clan should destroy a great amount of the region around the tower to try and disguise it as best they could. He seems pretty confident that whatever you're going to find in there might be a no-turning-back scenario.
The Mind Mage is very powerful. Powerful enough to confuse us.
He confused you?
Yes.
How?
With his mind tricks.
I mean, how... What was the... When you were confused, what did he have you do?
He made us do things not by our choice.
To do what?
To destroy his tower.
Oh, it wasn't a voluntary choice. That is a very important thing to know. Thank you.
Here I was thinking he, like, allied with Jace Beleriand for a little bit.
They did kind of. They did ally slightly. The particulars of that are not necessarily relevant to the campaign.
Right.
But Jace Beleriand, they call him the Mind Mage.
Right.
And this is the man entrusted with being the Living Guild Pact.
Ah, so you have heard. Yes, the Guild Pact is alive. And wherever he is, he can be killed.
On the next Encounter Party, as the corruption looms overhead, our players hunt for the missing library of Jace Beleriand. But will they find more than they planned on? A revelation may fracture the party's goal entirely. The secret of the orbs finally revealed next time on Encounter Party! Encounter Party is produced by Play Plus One and Charging Moose Media, based on the worlds of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering, created by Wizards of the Coast. Original campaign written by Brian David Judkins. Sound capture and original effects by Will Malones. Edits and mixing by Ned Donovan and Katie Brow. Theme song and additional music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. Additional music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech. Special thanks to Megan Judkins and Will Malones.
So I've got to go fast because there's a dagger being held to my throat. I don't understand most of this, but subscribe to the podcast, rate and review us, join us on the Book of Faces, whatever that means to you. There's Twitter as well. There's Instagram, apparently. And for news and updates, go to encounterparty.com. I hope that made sense to you. It made zero sense to me. Can I live now?